Welcome back to Chasing Dramas. This is the podcast that discusses Chinese culture and history through historical Chinese dramas. We are your hosts for today, Kathy
and Karen.
Today, we are discussing the second half of episode 56, all of episode 57, and the first couple of minutes of episode 58 of the story of Yanxi Palace, or Yanxi Gonglue. This podcast is in English with proper nouns and certain phrases spoken in Mandarin Chinese. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter, or else email us at karenandkathy@chasingdramas.com. In the last few episodes, our main character Wei Yingluo and the Emperor Qianlong had a massive falling out after the Emperor deduced that the whole reason Wei Yingluo came back to the palace and became his concubine, did all of those things to win his favor, was to enact revenge for the late Empress Fu Cha. This turned the Emperor's heart cold and basically left Yingluo in Leng Gong, or the Cold Palace. Though I will say, I commend Yingluo's actions because who needs men anyways, right? Yingluo doesn't fight back because in the end, the two main culprits that led to Empress Fu Cha's death, Chun Guifei and Er Qing, both met their demise. But despite Yingluo not caring about her current standing in the palace, she decides that she must retain some sort of power in order to protect her staff, particularly Ming Yu, from being bullied. So she turns to the Empress Dowager, who provides Yingluo with some sort of protection. At this point, the Empress Nala is the most powerful woman in the palace. Yuan Chunwang has also betrayed Yingluo and is now the head of Neiwu Fu, or the Imperial Household Department, reporting directly to Empress Nala. In episode 56, Yuan Chunwang brutally interrogates the old head, or the prior head of the department, Wu Shulai, for information. I gotta say, I feel pretty bad for Wu Shulai because he worked many years to climb his way up the ladder, only to be halfway cut off from his path. He also was quite the confidant to the Empress Dowager. We also don't know what happened to this guy after this brutal interrogation. I think the worst happened. In any case, Wu Shulai did scream out that he had a life-saving secret, which Yuan Chunwang then investigates, but I don't know if it was enough to save his life. We never find out. Seems like the details of this secret have been confirmed, and pieces of the puzzle are now set in motion. This secret has to do with the Empress Dowager, whom the Empress Nala now is greatly displeased with and wants to remove from power. But the crafty Empress is not going to let this come back to her at all. Instead, she leverages the Prince of He, or He Qinwang, the Emperor's brother. One day, he comes into the palace to pay his respects to his late mother, Yu Taifei. In her belongings, suspiciously enough, he finds a letter that he recognizes was his mother's protection against the Empress Dowager. When I was watching this scene, I was like, okay, everything's moved out and you just so happened to find this letter in her bedside cabinet. I mean, like, anybody could have found this out. The prince immediately presents the letter to his brother, Emperor Qianlong. The note says that the fourth prince's mother, aka the emperor's mother, or our Emperor Qianlong's mother, was actually a woman from the Qian family. Niu Hulushi, aka the Empress Dowager, killed this mother in order to take the son for her own. This note was apparently written by the Emperor's nanny, Wen Shufurin, which speaks to its validity. The Emperor hastily storms over to the Empress Dowager's residence and point blank questions whether or not he is her son or the son of this Lady Qian. Under his questioning, the Empress Dowager surprisingly admits that he is not her son, but the son of Lady Qian, a Han woman. The moment the emperor was born, he was brought over to the current empress dowager to raise because of his birth mother's lowly status. What's interesting is that the empress dowager doesn't know that the note said that she killed Madame Qian or Lady Qian, but after the emperor confirmed that he was indeed not his mother's child or the empress dowager's child, he apologized and walked away without saying much further. The empress dowager at that point recognizes that the note must have contained additional information. After all, why after so many years after the death of this nanny did this letter just pop up? I will say, these couple of episodes really require a lot of rewatching because here you see the wheels turning for all those in that room. The emperor then heads over to the Empress Nala's residence, hoping to have someone to talk to about all of this, not knowing that she is the one who planted the information. Empress Nala skillfully points out the holes in the Empress Dowager's story about how or why Madame Qian or Lady Qian would ask the Empress Dowager at that point to raise her son when there were plenty of women in the Emperor's father's harem at that point that did not have children who were more powerful and favored than the Empress Dowager or Niu Huluxi at that time. This causes the emperor to further believe that yes, it wasn't Madame Qian who requested the Empress Dowager raise him, but the Empress Dowager probably killed Madame Qian in order to claim him as her own to gain more power in the palace. It just so happened earlier in episode 56 that the emperor was given a painting by a Mr. Qian, where he requested the emperor write a few lines on the painting as a gift for Mr. Qian's aging mother. It turns out this Mr. Qian is actually Madame Qian's brother. The emperor is running around everywhere, clutching the painting, thinking that something's hidden or has deeper meaning in the painting, and summons this Mr. Qian to see him. The emperor wants to question him as to the truth about his birth. But just as the emperor is hoping to see this Mr. Qian, news travels to the emperor that this Mr. Qian has fallen off a horse and conveniently died. This rather convenient timing infuriates the emperor and makes it seem like the emperor's dowager killed Mr. Qian in order to hide the truth. It was all way too convenient. Meanwhile, the emperor's dowager, in all the stress of what's going on, has passed out and fallen ill. Note the Empress Dowager's eye movements while all of this information is being given to her. With all of the chaos that's happening, the person who is most pleased with these developments is, of course, Empress Nala. While the Empress Dowager is bedridden, the Empress takes this opportunity to gloat in front of her. The Empress tells the Empress Dowager that her nephew will be killed for being involved in the same corruption case that basically killed her father, and then goes on to threaten the Empress Dowager that she will no longer be needed in helping the Emperor ever again. The Empress's plan is that she wants the Emperor to hate the Empress Dowager forever for this betrayal. Oh, and the death of Mr. Qian, one of the Empress's works too. The Empress Dowager is so upset and infuriated by the Empress's words that she falls out of bed and cannot even speak due to her anger. Ying Luo rushes to help the Empress Dowager while the Empress smirks and walks out. Ugh, I love Charmaine's acting. And also, I really enjoy this background music. For several scenes with these couple of episodes, that like mirror sound really, really... Sorry, I mean, I like that. That sound really, really heightens, I don't know, like how intense it is.
That was very skillfully described.
Well, things don't look good for the Empress Dowager, who apparently is suffering from a stroke. Ying Luo requests for her friend Ye Tianshi to come diagnose the Empress Dowager just in case there was something amiss with the main doctor, which was a good call because this doctor was bought off or paid off by the Empress. Ye Tianshi gives the Empress Dowager another prescription that would be a better treatment. Meanwhile, in a surprising twist, Yingluo, who has taken over caring for the Empress Dowager, receives a visit from Qin Guirin. She shocks everyone, me included, as she brings medicine and prescriptions that could help the Empress Dowager. Having entered the palace all the way back in episode 1, she has always been meek and shy, always under the shadow of Shu Pin. But as Qin Guirin states herself, she recognizes the limits of her capability, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't know right from wrong. She's hoping that her meager contributions now will be remembered in the future.
Woo! I'm actually really happy for this woman because she is a surprise ally for Yingluo. And Yingluo takes this kindness in stride and offers to help Qin Guirin become a more powerful woman in the palace. So that just shows the character of both Qin Guirin and Yingluo. There is a brief scene that definitely caused me some worry the first time I saw it in this distressing time in the palace. A maid gives the Empress Dowager's head maid Liu Gugu medical prescriptions from Yingluo and Qin Guirin for the Empress Dowager, only for this Liu Gugu to rip it up. Oh no! What could that mean? Is this Liu Gugu also a spy against the Empress Dowager? Before we can think too much about this, we turn back to the Emperor, who is absolutely unable to sit still with so many questions, and he storms into Shou Kangong again, clutching the painting. There, he is greeted by a trembling Qin Guirin, who takes this opportunity to tell him a story. The story goes as such. A young farmer's wife was left to care for her aging in-laws after her husband fled due to famine. The wife wanted to make a living off of embroidery, but the earnings were too meager, and the neighbors couldn't help either, so she turned to selling her smile. Using the profits, she was able to care for her in-laws and even bought another young woman for her husband. When her husband finally came home, she told him that she is returning her parents, his parents, unscathed, and the other young woman is the new wife she bought for him. With that, she kills herself.
The Emperor is confused as to what the story means for him at this moment, to which Qin Guirin continued. After the death of this young woman, the local magistrate pronounced her as unchaste and not allowed to be buried with her husband. Her in-laws were furious at this outcome because it was she who aided them while her husband, their son, left them. What's more important? Chastity or righteousness or doing the right thing? Which one is correct? Well, then Qin Guirin then goes on to recount what happened with the Empress Dowager. During an excursion with the late Emperor Yongzheng, he and Lady Qian were targeted by bandits in the mountains. Their group was surrounded, and so Madame Qian switched into Emperor Yongzheng's clothing and took off, hoping to buy the Emperor some time and safety. After this act, it was rumored that Lady Qian was captured by the bandits and subject to their humiliation. Other rumors stated that she threw herself off a cliff in order to protect her chastity. But whatever the truth, neither story would look good for the current emperor, even though Lady Qian did the right thing. But too many people would cling on to the fact that she was unchaste and ignore her heroic deeds. And that is why the Empress Dowager was so adamant in keeping the emperor's true birth a secret. Qin Guirin then follows up saying that the Empress Dowager had requested an old guard come to the capital. He can answer any questions the emperor may have about what happened.
And so, the next day, the emperor indeed questions the old soldier who confirms that Madame Qian was with the emperor on this excursion. But the bombshell pieces of information include that the Madame Qian was alive and returned to the palace, and then ultimately was sentenced to die for her humiliation towards the then Emperor Yongzheng. The emperor, I feel like this entire episode, he's just been running around and just being angry, is again furious at these words because it shows him that the Empress Dowager lied to him another time. He storms over to Shou Kangong one more time, and for this little walk, he's walking so fast that he doesn't even have the patience to be carried by his servants. The problem is the Emperor's Dowager has already left the palace with Ying Luo in tow. The Emperor races after them on horseback, only to find Qin Guiren waiting for him once again out in the woods. She finishes her story by telling the Emperor that the late Emperor knew just how important it was to ascend the throne as rightfully as possible. After this revelation, the Emperor jumps back on his horse and chases after the Empress Dowager. Again, I really like these scenes of him riding his horse. At her carriage, he begs for forgiveness only to be dismissed by Liu Gugu without a single word. All the Emperor can do is watch his adoptive mother, the Empress Dowager, head off without forgiving him. In the beginning of episode 58, Ying Luo, in the carriage with the Empress Dowager and Liu Gugu, has a curious look on her face. She is a little surprised at when the Empress Dowager recovered enough to take this trip. The Empress Dowager lets out a sly smile and says, "The right question to ask is when did the Empress Dowager become ill?" Turns out, the Empress Dowager was never sick to begin with. It was Liu Gugu who used her own medical expertise to make it seem like the Empress Dowager was sick. This way, the Empress felt comfortable enough to expose her true motives to the supposedly dying Empress Dowager. Additionally, the Emperor will now feel awful for having questioned the Empress Dowager's motives, thereby amplifying his guilt. And why bring Ying Luo? It is to help her regain favor with the Emperor. The Emperor probably guessed it was Ying Luo who instructed Qin Guiren to tell him all of those stories. But if Ying Luo remained in the palace, the Emperor would just be irritated with Ying Luo. By accompanying the Empress Dowager to Yuan Ming Yuan, the Emperor will now have another reason to miss her and calm his anger towards her. Okay, I feel like there is a lot to digest for this plot point. At first, the Emperor is furious that his mother lied to him about being his birth mother. And then even more angry at her because it seems like she killed his birth mother in order to gain power. This change in dynamic between him and his mother is important because Qianlong is renowned for being one of the most filial sons in the Qing dynasty. He revered his mother and cared for his mother for many, many years, or basically his entire life. After the stories from Qin Guiren, though, it's revealed that it probably wasn't the Empress Dowager who killed Madame Qian on her own volition, but because she had to die in order to protect Emperor Qianlong and Emperor Yongzheng's reputation. By the end of the episode, the Emperor realized that he had wrongfully accused his adoptive mother, thinking that she was the one to kill his birth mother, when in reality, the late Emperor Yongzheng was the one to give the order. The Empress Dowager was just doing her best to raise him as a son. So in these couple of episodes, we had a brilliant battle of the empresses. There's Empress Nala on one side and Empress Dowager Niu Hulu on the other. The famous Niu Hulu. But you know what? Empress Nala got cocky. She believed that she had subdued all of her threats in the harem and then decided, yes, it was time to turn her attention towards the Empress Dowager. In the previous episodes, Chun Guifei died and Wei Yingluo fell out of favor. Empress Nala now wants to seek revenge on the Empress Dowager for her position against her father, which ultimately led to his death. I 100% believe that it was the Empress who planted the letter for He Qin Wang to find, and she, of course, was the one to kill Qian Zhengyuan. She was very confident in believing that she had all of the cards and knew how to manipulate the Emperor into despising the Empress Dowager to such a point that the two would be permanently estranged. Little did she know, gloating in front of enemies is never good because she let her guard down when she saw that the Empress Dowager was ill in bed and she let the events slip from her control. What do I mean? See, she didn't know about Qin Guiren's allegiance. She also dismissed Wei Yingluo as a non-entity.
She further believed that the Empress Dowager was on her deathbed, but little did she know that all of these women played a part in telling the story that the Empress Dowager wanted the Emperor to hear. The old guard that came back to tell the truth? The Empress Dowager probably paid him off to tell the story, which caused the Emperor to chase after the Empress Dowager. I mean, there's no way that Qing Ren would have let slip such an important witness without the Empress Dowager's approval. Once the Emperor raced to catch the Empress Dowager, who was there again to complete the story? Qing Ren. I fully believe that this was all secretly approved by the Empress Dowager. Wei Yingluo did not know the full story. The Empress Dowager knew kind of the web of stories that she wanted the Emperor to hear. And now he fully believes that his mother, the Empress Dowager, was in the right. In the end, the most cunning person in the palace truly is the Empress Dowager. Plenty of people for this scene or these couple of episodes alone still call this Empress Dowager Huan Huan, aka Zhen Huan from Zhen Huan Zhuan or Empresses in the Palace, for being the big boss in the palace. And that extremely sly smile to Yingluo's question of just how did Madame Qian die reveals all you need to know about this woman in the palace. Empress Dowager Niu Hulushi has everything under her control and knows how to play her part as the serene, kind, calm grandmother or Empress Dowager in the palace, but she can be ruthless when she needs to be. The story of Madame Qian will come back at the end of the drama, but let's leave that for now. Right now, all we need to know is that by episode 58, Yingluo and the Empress Dowager have left to Yuan Ming Yuan and will stay there for quite some time, leaving Emperor Qianlong quite guilty of how he treated, especially the Empress Dowager in the last couple of episodes. All right, there's a ton of history in these couple of episodes with rumors flying around and murky history. So without further ado, let us begin. The first topic is going to be on the man Qian Zhengyuan. He is the court official who sent a painting to Emperor Qianlong as a request to write a couple of words for his elderly mother. We then find out that he is the brother of Emperor Qianlong's mother and that he suddenly dies on his way to Beijing. We'll focus our history discussion on Qian Zhengyuan. He is based off of another historical figure called Qian Chenqun. He was born in 1686 in the city of Jiaxing. Jiaxing is a very lovely city, and I recommend people visit it. His father died when he was young, so it was left to his mother to raise her children to adulthood. He passed his imperial entrance exams in 1721 and served the courts of three emperors, Kangxi,雍正, and Qianlong, serving posts such as Shun Tian Xuezheng, basically the overseer to the imperial entrance exams for Beijing, and then, of course, also in the Ministry of Justice. In 1736, Qian Chenqun requested to be relieved of his post due to the death of his mother, but he still held the post of Shun Tian Xuezheng. He returned to court and was then appointed to the Ministry of Justice in 1742. In 1752, he requested retirement due to his poor health, which was granted. This Qian Chenqun was a very gifted poet and quickly became favored by Emperor Qianlong, so much so that he acted as a close advisor. So close that for four of the six trips that Emperor Qianlong had to go south, which was a couple years later, Qian Chenqun was summoned along for those four trips, and the emperor stayed at the Qian residence in Jiaxing while he was there. Qian Chenqun died in 1774 at the ripe old age of 88. So not randomly in an attack as we saw in the episode. So this was very much just fabricated for drama purposes. Now let's turn our attention to his mother, though. His mother was called Chen Shu and was a female painter. She was left widowed with young children and in-laws to care for, so she spent her days selling paintings and embroidery to get by. Her hard work paid off as we saw Qian Chengqun pass his imperial entrance exams and became a well-respected official. Towards the end of her life, she gifted one of her paintings, Ye Fang Shou Jing Tu, or Night Embroidery, to teach to Emperor Qianlong. This is the basis for the painting that we saw in episode 56. Emperor Qianlong was very touched by the painting and wrote a poem on it, and also highlighted that this should serve as a reminder for other ministers at court. What's interesting is that there are a few of her paintings that can be seen today in the Jiaxing Museums. And she is one of the few female painters where we do have records of her full name. I think this is a pretty cool accomplishment, and she definitely deserves all the accolades for her. So I'm always happy to see female artists and painters remembered, especially from Imperial China. So listeners, there's no Qian Zhengyuan, only Qian Chengqun. Next, let's dive into the whole mystery that is Qianlong's birth and who this mysterious Qian Shi, or Lady Qian, is. For this drama, the screenwriter decided to tie Lady Qian to the Jiaxing Qian clan, but in reality, there's no relation between the two. However, out of all of the Qing Dynasty emperors, for some reason, Qianlong has had the most number of rumors surrounding his true birth mother. I'll first start with the rumors, then talk about what's written in history, and then discuss some very interesting contrasting documents. Here are three rumors that have been floated around with no real historical basis, but live on in folklore. Number one is that Qianlong is the son of a lowly maid. In the Chengde district of Hubei province, there was a poor family with a young daughter who sold wine and food for a living. When the young girl was 13 or 14, she snuck herself into the caravan of carriages for the imperial selection. She was then subsequently sent to the then Prince of Yong's residence as a lowly maid. Luckily, or unluckily for her, the Prince of Yong fell ill and this girl took care of him. After he got better, he slept with her, and that's how she got pregnant with Qianlong. This rumor doesn't hold much weight because the selection process was extremely strict. There's little chance that a random girl who wasn't trained to be a maid was just able to join the caravan. The second rumor is that Qianlong was the son of a palace maid at the Zhehe Summer Palace. In my mind, this one's a little random. The story is that the Prince of Yong, aka Yongzheng, Huangdi, was out hunting with his father, Emperor Kangxi, at Zhehe, an area to the northeast of Beijing. They shot a sika deer and drank the deer blood. Apparently, this deer blood is a strong aphrodisiac, so the Prince of Yong quickly bedded an ugly Han maid who subsequently had Qianlong. This rumor also doesn't make much sense because Emperor Qianlong was born on the 13th day of the 8th month, but hunting occurred around the 5th month, so the timing doesn't really work. Honestly, I'm finding it quite interesting to see all these rumors about the Emperor Qianlong's birth. Yeah, I don't know, the first and second one. The second one to me is like, what? And then the third rumor we have is that Emperor Qianlong is actually the son of a man called Chen Shiguan. This Chen Shiguan became a Jin Shi during Kangxi's reign, and by the time of Emperor Qianlong, he already rose to the post of the Minister of Works. Rumor is, the two families had a child on the same day, but the Prince of Yong had a daughter while the Chen family had a son. So the then Prince of Yong swapped the children. This is also a rumor because, well, the Prince of Yong wasn't really wanting for sons. He could always have more. There's also little reason to swap children. So this story was debunked by historians. However, this rumor out of all of the three above
with Tianlong being the son of Chen Shiguan, is the one that likes to be picked up by authors to write for their own stories. For example, the wuxia author Jin Yong went with this rumor and set the story that Tianlong was the twin brother of the main character Chen Jialuo in one of his really famous stories, Shu Jian En Chou Lu. Those are also pretty popular dramas, not one of his most favorite books, but you can also watch dramas of that series as well. Once again, these are all rumors, but rumors on Tianlong's mom. So what we saw is that in Empresses in the Palace, or Zhen Huan Zhuan, Xi Fei was Emperor Qianlong's mother. According to historical records, Lady Niu Hulu, Xi Fei started as a gege with the Prince of Yong. After he ascended the throne, she then rose to Xi Fei, or Consort Xi, and then Noble Consort Xi, and then finally Empress Dowager. The last piece is kind of what we saw within Empresses in the Palace. Of course, the Niu Hulu last name was gifted to her by Emperor Yongzheng. What we have from a historical fact perspective is that Xi Fei was the one who gave birth to the future Emperor Qianlong. This is recorded in Qing Shi Zong Xian Huangdi Shi Lu, a historical document that was written and compiled during Emperor Qianlong's reign of his father's reign. In Qing Shi Gao Hou Fei Zhuan, or the draft history of Qing, the history of the concubines, it basically states the same. Note that this last name is Niu Hulu. The draft history of Qing, as I mentioned in a previous episode, was compiled shortly after the fall of the Qing dynasty. These all seem pretty airtight, right? On the surface, yes. This is also what has been widely accepted as the fact and the official records. But what's interesting is that the question that historians are asking right now isn't whether Xi Fei was Emperor Qianlong's mother. That we can all agree on. Also, just toss away all you know from Empresses in the Palace and even what we saw in this drama because, you know, this is all storytelling. The actual question right now is whether Xi Fei was from the Niu Hulu clan or from the Qian clan. Why? Because there's interesting records before Emperor Qianlong's time that tell a slightly different story. Here's a couple of examples, or the two main examples that people point to. The first compilation is called Yong Xian Lu, which was written by Xiao Shi during the Qing dynasty and chronicles the history of Emperor Kangxi and the early Yongzheng reigns. This compilation, though, isn't regarded as actual history. It's a little bit of historical fiction. The one piece that catches our eye, though, is that in here, the author wrote that Qian Shi, or Lady Qian, became Xi Fei. Interesting. Where does this Lady Qian come from? I don't know exactly when Yong Xian Lu came out, so this doesn't really help our case. However, let's take a look at the next piece of evidence. In another compilation, Yongzheng Chao Hanwen Yu Zhi Hui Bian, which translates to a compilation of Chinese edicts of Yongzheng's reign. It has the 14th day of the second month of Emperor Yongzheng's first year, as per the Empress Dowager's edict, promote Gege Qian Shi Feng Wei Xi Fei, or in English, promote Lady Qian to Consort Xi. This compilation seems to have a bit more weight because this was just translations. However, since this is the Chinese translation, or the Han translation, this means that there is also the corresponding Manchu words. People have compared the two, and the Chinese character here for Xi Fei is Qian, but the corresponding Manchu words mean Niu Hulu. So this adds to the mystery and why there's no consensus, because if it was Qian on both sides, then yes, maybe we can agree that it was a Lady Qian. But why is it that in Chinese, the character is Qian, but the corresponding is in Niu Hulu? So is it still Niu Hulu or Qian?
In the article that I'm reading, the author says that possibly Emperor Qianlong could have removed all records of his birth mother, or Lady Qian, and swapped her to be from the more well-known Niu Hulu clan so that he had more standing in history books. It definitely sounds better to have a mother from a Manchu clan than from an unknown Han family. The problem is, subsequent historical records only have Niu Hulu as Qianlong's mother, which means we basically know nothing about this Lady Qian if she did exist. The documents, while scarce about Niu Hulu, do have it pretty airtight in saying, okay, she was born to this family, from where, on which day. So this history, or muddled history, is very different from our current drama, where Qianlong's mother is Lady Qian, and the current Empress Dowager is from the Niu Hulu clan. Also, once again, for non-Chinese reading listeners, this Qianlong, this Qian, and Lady Qian are two different characters. From a historical conundrum perspective, the question, once again, is whether Empress Dowager is Lady Qian or Lady Niu Hulu, not if they're two different women. Honestly, I think this is a tough one. The official record is that Qianlong's mother is from the Niu Hulu clan. I personally am inclined to go with the former, that Qianlong's mother was indeed from the Niu Hulu clan, because in my mind, I think it would have been difficult for a Han woman with no relations to survive the imperial harem. However, many online think that it was Lady Qian due to the earlier historical records, and to them, it does make sense that it was Qianlong who compiled a lot of these later historical records ordered for his mother's early history to change to the Niu Hulu clan. So what do you think? Do you believe that the Empress Dowager is from the Qian family or from the Niu Hulu clan? Now, I will leave the history at this. There is more to this story drama-wise that we will discuss towards the end of this podcast series. Whew! That was a lot, and this is probably one of our longer episodes we've done in a while. If you have any thoughts or questions, let us know what you thought about these couple of episodes for the storyline of Niu Hulu Shi, our Empress Dowager, not being the birth mother of Emperor Qianlong. So you can see so many comparisons with Empress in the Palace, because in that drama, the Empress Zhen Huan was also not Emperor Qianlong's birth mother. In any case, if you are looking for sites to watch Chinese dramas and you are in the US, please head on over to our sponsor, Jubao TV, that is J-U-B-A-O TV, which is a free streaming service that has a selection of Chinese dramas and movies to watch with English subtitles, all for free. They have also just launched on Plex, so you can stream it through their website or access it on TV. Thanks again so much for listening, and we will catch you all in the next podcast episode.